Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I have been looking forward to today's show for weeks. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a fantastic show lined up for you today. We have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in live from the Ozarks today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hi, Gina. I have a confab of guinea hens and crows that have been just going to town out here, cackling and cawing away, and they're a little quieter now, but goodness knows what we're going to hear.
Well, they must be excited about today's show, too.
I think they are. They are always excited. They are never afraid to just speak their mind and speak out, and it's a wonderful thing.
Too funny.
Yep.
Well, I will let you do the honors of filling our listeners in on what's in store for them today.
I will do that, and then I will then ask you to share how you got involved with our particular guest today. And do you have her unmuted, or shall I? I was just asking.
I can get her that.
Okay, because I was just
asking. She is unmuted now.
All right. Well, our guest today has been here before. And I will make sure I didn't manage to get the link into the show notes from our last show, but I will do that. Linda Feinholz was here before, and in the context last time, was talking about building her own story, getting clear on building kind of the story of me type of story. And now she's coming back a little bit different, which we will get to very shortly. So she is a Directions University bachelor's student, and is with Gina for mentoring, and she is just doing all kinds of amazing things with her business. She has really deep and wonderful insights into people and into businesses and really how to help people to transform their business. And she will tell you all about her very special systems and things as we go through our show today. And her company is Business by Design, and she's really helping people design the life that they want to have, not let it just happen by chance and not just fly by the seat of your pants with whatever the whim of the day is. And I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm excited to have Linda Feinholz back today, and we will be talking storytelling techniques that help you build relationships with people in your business, with customers, with other kinds of people. So it'll be a storytelling techniques in just a little bit of a different way. So welcome back, Linda.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be with both of you today.
Is it really? Business by Design or Breakthrough by Design, Linda?
It's Breakthrough by Design.
Breakthrough by Design.
Okay, I thought I was losing my marbles.
No, Rhonda was losing her marbles. That was my fault. Sorry. Breakthrough by Design. Look at that. So, yes, Breakthrough by Design. I'm really happy to have you here, Linda. It's awesome. Mm.
Thank you. It's great being with both of you.
So rather than me telling the story of how Linda and I met and started working together, how about I let Linda do that?
I would love to, especially since it's perfectly on topic when we talk about relationship marketing.
It really is.
I would say about 6 months ago, I got a phone call from a business colleague who I've known for many years, and he said, there is someone you need to know. I've already told her she needs to know you, and her name is Gina Gaudio-Graves, and this is what you do. You follow this link. You get on her calendar so the two of you pick up the phone at the same time and have a great conversation. And knowing him for so many years, knowing his sensibilities and his knowing mine, knowing the goals I had for growing my business, and knowing that he knew it, see where the relationship comes in, I trusted him, made the phone call, and Gina and I got on the phone and haven't stopped talking since.
Awesome story, precisely how it happened.
It's exactly how it happened. And I think it's going to illuminate a lot of what we talk about today and what's so critical on this program, which is all the different shapes that relationships take. And
exactly.
Yep.
Love it. Oh, that's a very cool story.
Yeah,
it's just, isn't it cool, though? Oftentimes you do get to meet amazing people through other people. And so there are so many ways relationships play in, and we'll be talking about that and also some of the storytelling aspects of relationships. And see how by telling that story, you've given a great context to all of us. So thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. Are those the hens I hear in the background?
Well, I think they are.
I love it.
My cat Trippy has decided to come and meow, 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 because she just has to be involved, and she knows how important relationships are. She wants mommy to make a lap.
There we go.
And mommy isn't quite making her lap yet.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, part of what that story for me illustrates is, you know, as somebody who's been in the business community for decades and doing all kinds of networking, there's such different mindsets that we each use depending on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. So, you know, in a networking situation where you're out in public in a large crowd, you know, if you're an introvert, you show up with one mindset. If you're an extrovert, you show up with another one. An introvert shows up saying, okay, what's the script I said I was going to use today? And an extrovert says, oh, look, a room full of new people to build relationships with. So it really, you know, I personally am a mix of the two. And so I think what's, you know, what was so important about that call that I got was it came from someone who knew me. I knew they knew me and understood who I was. So that recommendation, I didn't even think twice about following through on pursuing that introduction to someone new and seeing what might be there in the relationship for me to offer them, how I could serve them, and vice versa.
Right. That's so true. And, yeah, it is. And many people are a mix of both introversion and extroversion. And that does, it plays into the story of how you think of yourself as well as how you relate to people.
Very much so. Gina, how was it for you when you were told, oh, here's this person you ought to know?
Well, at the time, I was getting ready to run a course that I call Passion to Profits. And it was something I had done once before. It's a 10-week course. I was getting ready to run it a second time. And I was actually looking for a specific person that was really coachable, that could be used as the example throughout the 10-week course. And I was thinking about all the people that I knew and who did I know that might be right for that. And everybody I could come up with was someone that would have been willing to do it, but really wouldn't have been a perfect example. Most of the people I could come up with were people who'd already done what that course teaches, so I could make them work as the model in the course, but I really wanted somebody who was really in the role, doing the work then, not having had already done it.
A fresh model.
And like you, I knew that Ken knew me well. I knew that if I really explained what I was really looking for, that whoever he might recommend for that would be the perfect person. So when he came up and said, you know, I do have the perfect person, I was like, oh, my God, this is wonderful. So I've been looking for the perfect person for like 5 months and hadn't found it.
And, you know, it's so funny how the universe works and synchronicity works, because when he describes a program and what you were looking for, I started laughing because, of course, it was perfect for what was up for me next as well. And
love that.
And in fact, Gina, when you and I started talking, the program was a few months away, but I became so clear from our conversations that I wanted you as a mentor that I said, great, we'll be working on that. And in the meantime, what else can we be working on now? And so, you know, when the perfect relationship shows up, it can take lots of different next steps.
Yep, yep. And, you know, the big lesson for every one of our listeners today is that you need to set your business up in a way that can work in all of those situations. When you wanted something then, not a few months later, it was an easy thing for me to say, oh, that's great. I have this thing that you can start working on right this minute. If I hadn't have had that thing, it really could have been a very bad thing for both of us. I would have probably lost you in the few months you would have been waiting to get ready to do that other thing.
I think that's very true, because at the time I was primed. I'd made my decision about what I was trying to accomplish in my business. I had a pretty clear vision of it. I had several goals that I had set, and the idea of waiting a few months for me would have felt like putting everything on hold on the back burner, and I wasn't about to. I was in action-taking mode.
Yeah,
and so
you were
fact...
very much in action-taking mode, big time.
Right. So right. The fact that your business model allowed for us to enter into relationship in a lot of different ways and figure out which one made sense next, it actually it was instrumental on two fronts. One is obviously it served me beautifully. Right then and right there. And secondarily, it also modeled for me how to rethink my own business model. And Gina, you and I have had conversations about this. This has been part of the Directions University conversation as well, which is how can you simplify what you're doing and yet be of service on different levels with different timing? And as you know, I turned around and you know, you and I stripped out probably easily 60% of what I had been envisioning for my business in order that I, too, could be putting in much more simplified programs and offerings and ways to be of service, much more simplified and really about three different levels for people to be in relationship with me.
Yeah, and before you and I started working on that, what you would have created, number one, wouldn't have been very scalable. There would have come a time when you hit a glass ceiling and just couldn't grow anymore because there weren't enough hours in the day to do it all.
Right.
And it probably wouldn't have served the people that you're about to work with as well as what you've created now.
Correct. I have no doubts about that. No doubts. And you know, coming back to this notion of relationship marketing, it was this combination of my vision meeting the right opportunity and what you were offering being that fit.
Right.
I talk about it a lot with my clients that first you have got to know what your true north is. On if you envision it as a compass, what's your true north? What's your vision? What are the goals you're trying to accomplish? And then the next step is then how do you turn that into a lucrative business so you can create the life that you want to be creating in the world and the business that's empowering it as the economic engine for it. And by my being able to describe to you what I wanted to create, you were able to then really enter into a relationship with me, understanding my vision and my goals, and then say, well, let's take these portions out because you're actually overcomplicating your life, and let me show you. And because of your demonstrating you understood my vision, I was open to listening to having my business model redesigned after years of design to just relaxing and sitting back and letting you masterfully help me.
And the funniest part about it is that it was simply a framework for you to plug into. It really wasn't reconstructing what you share with the world, what you do with companies. It was just reorganizing it in a more streamlined way that served everybody better.
Yeah. Yeah. And liberated me.
Yeah, really
liberated
did.
Me. You and I have talked about our missions in the world and how we really want to help serve and transform the world. And, you know, it's fun being that living example of being part of your mission as I turn around and say, funny, here's my mission too, which is to reach out and help more people. And in order to do that, it's how do we create the bandwidth and the capacity inside our business model so that we're not burning out, we're not exhausting ourselves, but rather able to keep re-energizing ourselves as we turn around and serve others.
Yeah, and like every other student in the DU Bachelor's program, you are a beautiful example of someone who, if you just made money and that's all you did was make a bunch of money for yourself, it really wouldn't have brought you the sense of fulfillment that you want from your business. That fulfillment really only happens when you're both making a difference for other people, really serving people well, and making money at the same time.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really unique for every single DU Bachelor student. They are all people who really wouldn't be happy just making money. Yeah, money is great, but they really want to make a difference.
Right. And I know, Rhonda, it's the same for you in what you're doing with your work in the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, part of the point of storytelling and writing and all those things that I help people with is the same thing. It's about making a difference, right, Trippy Cat? Yes. It's really about making a difference in the world. But you need a vehicle. It's like you can want to get to California or to whatever destination all you want, but if you don't have some way to get there, how would you make it?
Yeah. And it all comes down to relationships at oh so many levels.
It does. You know, I was thinking about the conversation we were and are having today over the last couple of days. And I was remembering I had put together a little framework years ago when I would go into corporations and try and get everybody around the table to just pause in how they were thinking automatically about what they were trying to accomplish in business. And back then what I talked about is the relationship between one idea and another, the relationship between one piece of information and another, and the relationship between one person and another. And when we step back and look at those three elements, we can identify everything that's going on in a business and everything that we'd rather have going on in a business. And I hadn't thought about that in a very long time, but I was thinking about relationship on all these levels, because the relationship between two ideas allows for new ideas for the business, new strategies, new markets to pursue, new products and programs and services to offer. Gina, you talk often about the Blue Ocean Strategy notion, and that's where its birth is, between two ideas, two opportunities, the conversation
exactly.
And relationship between those. And then the relationship between two pieces of information becomes, you know, if you're talking with left brain people, well, that's data and information. But if you're talking about in how to formulate and grow a business, it's what's the information you need, what's the information that's superfluous that you don't want to be looking at, how do you sharpen what you're paying attention to, the questions you're asking that the members of your team are asking, how you shape the activities of your business so that you're pursuing what's worth pursuing, you're stopping putting effort into what's not worth the time, the effort, the energy, and so on. And then the relationship between people is what it all comes down to, because every one of us, as we show up in relationship with each other, is where the conversations take place, the prioritizing, the teamwork, the actually getting it done takes place in business.
I never really looked at all three of those kinds of relationships myself. That's really, really insightful.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I told you she was insightful. It's great. Yeah. It really is. It's so phenomenal. And part of the thing about relationships is that as brilliant as any one person may be and as much as one may know your stuff, you know, Linda is clearly someone who has got her stuff together. And yet, even she benefited from mentoring. And I say that in the sense that why should anyone else expect that you shouldn't need or want or have mentoring or whatever, because you need somebody from outside of your own head, even if you are really brilliant. I mean, here you had designed your own business by your specifications to meet your goals and help you make that impact, right, Linda? And yet you were knowing that you weren't quite where you wanted to be initially when you started that point where you were looking for your next mentor and then found Gina.
Exactly. When I'm working with entrepreneurs who are very narrow-focused, very often what they're looking for is they realize that they've stalled, or really typically they're busy instead of profitable, and they don't know what questions to ask next. They don't know how to untangle what's going on. And that's great. That's fabulous. It's so obvious that they're ready to let themselves be helped, to be mentored, to go into a program that's going to help get them unstuck and keep them from getting stuck in the same ways or stalled in the same ways ever again. When I'm working with people who are highly successful, often the starting point is, they won't call it mentoring. They'll say they're looking for a sounding board. And it's the same thing. From my frame of reference, it's the same thing. It's the desire, the innate desire we have to be in relationship with another person who will stand at a different angle, will have a different sight line to what's going on and different experience, and be able to see past the chaos and the clutter and the fog and say, oh, did you realize that, or have you thought of this? And be in the conversation, shifting perspective and shifting the ideas of what's possible and what's available.
And while the three of us really work with business owners and help businesses solve different kinds of problems, this really applies in our listeners' businesses, even if the audience that they're going after really isn't a business or a business owner, but they instead help people to solve any kind of problem. It doesn't matter what niche you're in, what problem you help people solve. Everything we're talking about really applies equally in every single case.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. When I think about the range of clients that Gina, I know that you work with and that Rhonda works with and that I work with, we've chosen to not be what are currently referred to as life coaches.
Yeah.
But what's clear in the conversation, what's clear in the issues that we see our clients, our students encounter, is that all of life is wrapped up together. So there's no way to talk about business without also talking about the underlying drive for, as I like to say, why we're getting out of bed on Tuesday to spend our weekday daylight hours in a particular pursuit, using all of our time, all of our intelligence, all of our energy. Like, what's motivating us to get out? It's never starting with a business conversation. It's always starting with the personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does.
It does. Because when you think about it, even if the first thing on your brain were business, and for me it's not, my first thing out of bed is gratitude. But what makes you want to get up, even if it has relationship to business, it's really about the lives that you'll touch, the people who are involved. It's always about the relationships and what can be caused to happen. It's not just, wow, I get to go to a job today. Yippee.
Right, right. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to go to an organization and speak with the members there about this notion of making resolutions. And part of what I talked about with everybody there is, you know, I asked the room at large, how many of you here have made resolutions in the past? And, of course, most of the hands went up. And how many of you here actually remembered those resolutions a month later, and some of the hands went down? And how many of you even remembered them 2 months later? And what was the element that had this thing that you declared a resolution melt and disappear? Well, they didn't have an emotional relationship sure. with that goal they had set. They set it because it's the thing to do at different times of year, at New Year's or the last quarter of the year, you're supposed to set some kind of resolution for what you're going to accomplish. But the truth is, it's always done very intellectually. And unless you take a step back and say, emotionally, what is it that I want to accomplish, then what is one thing I will put my attention on and commit to following through on so that I'm closer to that?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, back to what we said we were going to share with our listeners today about story techniques and so on. Rhonda, let me ask you, what's your favorite technique and where do you use it?
Oh, goodness. See, to me, when I think of storytelling techniques, it's for me, it's not as much a mechanical type of a thing. It is all about the relationships. The whole point of using any storytelling techniques or telling any type of a story is because it's going to touch somebody's ears, eyes, heart, mind, spirit, whatever. It's going to touch other people. And I guess the biggest thing I love people to have in mind is that whatever story you choose to tell, and I will get into actually answering the question you asked, what type, I will. But before even thinking about that, there's something that's really important that most people forget. And I see this forgotten all the time from stages, in blog posts, in articles, in books. And Gina, when you hear me say this, and I'm sure Linda, you too, you're going to go, oh, yeah. Too many times people are speaking to a group, to a y'all, and not to one person.
Mm-hmm.
The true storyteller speaks to one person always. No matter if you're speaking to 10,000 people in a room or however many hundreds or thousands on a webinar or however many thousands of blog post readers or video watchers or article readers or whatever. It's always one person inside of one head at one time responding to your story and everything else based upon their experience, based upon their mindset, based upon their worldview, based upon whatever is running through their head on that given day or whatever issues they might be going through at that moment.
Very true.
And when you remember that, when you remember that you're speaking to one person, it then becomes actually easier. Where I see people get tripped up with storytelling, not knowing what to say, what to tell, which story to pick or whatever. And if the focus were instead on, here is my ideal customer, ideal prospect or whatever, and here is this person who is full of hopes and dreams and wants and fears and desires, what story can I tell that will have the greatest impact on this ideal prospect or customer? So when you think about it from that perspective of touching one person at a time and the perspective of recognizing the fact that you are wanting to have an impact, you're wanting to cause some kind of a shift or a change within that person, that then helps you decide what story to tell. So that's the first part. So before you're actually telling the story, number one, remember you're speaking to one person always at a time. Doesn't matter if the speaking is verbally from a stage or in a video or a blog post or a book or whatever. It's still one person who's receiving it at a time. And then number two is remembering that ideal listener, customer, person, and what it is that will most cause them to have some kind of a shift. That allows you then to, number three, pick a story that has some emotional content both for you as the teller, because you'll be more involved if it's not a head story for you, and then also for that listener, for that ideal customer, because they are receiving it, and if it does not touch their emotions, it just becomes blah, 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 like Charlie Brown teachers. That's what it sounds like to people. If you're just blathering on with facts and something you think you should say or whatever, but you're not truly getting emotionally involved yourself with the story that you're telling.
Okay, you know, everything you're saying is so valuable because we come from a culture right now that's all about blather, filling tons of airtime with blather. And I often say that breakthroughs are just one idea away and one action away. And when we're in relationship with the person that we're speaking to and we're paying attention to what's happening in their world, as you said, it lets us select what story or use of story or particular case study or example or tale or quip or joke is going to make the connection with them for them to give them the opportunity to break through to a new idea for themselves, for what's possible that allows them to shift, lets them break through into realization that they're at a moment where they could pick a new action to take, and so on, all through the use of a story that fits because we're staying in relationship with them.
Yeah. Stories are all about relationships, because if they're not, then there's no point to tell the story. And Linda, I also want to mention, with as you were pointing out and that I had alluded to, but I wanted to come circle back and state it more clearly. When you're sharing a case study of somebody, a success story, a testimonial, a case study, maybe somebody who you worked with and they had problem X and they suffered real bad and they went through whatever their things were, that is a story. And so when people go, gosh, I don't know what story to tell, I say, well, who have you worked with in the last 30 days? What have been their issues that you helped them overcome? Well, oh, I worked with this lady over here who da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then this other one, and now all of a sudden you have stories. That's not the only type, but that's one way to recognize who you're working with, what have their problems been. Because I guarantee you, when you think of who they are, you know, and I'm not saying you need to reveal all their, you know, if you will, air their dirty laundry on the stage or whatever, not in that sense, but being able to share that story of that this person and the problems they had and what their experience was with you, especially if they can also share in the telling of that through their testimonial or a quote or something. That really touches people because now they see, hey, there's someone who's a lot like me. They had trouble with that thing too. And then they were able to get over it. So maybe there's hope for me, even if I've tried 100 times and have not made it.
That's very true. You know, it's one of the realizations that I had very early on when I started doing independent consulting. I had a couple of very dear friends who made their professional lives as storytellers. That was their known role and identity and profession and expertise in the world. And so I had a little script running in my head, which was, oh, I don't tell stories. I don't know how to tell stories. But a funny thing, when I'd be sitting talking with an entrepreneur or a multipreneur who was looking for assistance with what was going on in their business, in our conversation, I was constantly making reference to clients I had helped with a similar type of situation, and their shoulders would relax and their face would relax and they'd start smiling, and you could see the connection. And, you know, it's so funny, carrying the identity, I'm not a storyteller, and yet naturally using it in certain settings. So,
well, I can prove to you that you're a natural born storyteller, and so is every listener. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Well, for everyone who thinks, oh, I'm not a storyteller, oh, I'm not a good storyteller, oh, I got nothing to say, oh, I got nothing to tell, whatever variation on that, you know, little story that you're telling, by the way, that is the key, that you are a natural-born storyteller, because you're telling yourself a story about what kind of a storyteller you are or aren't. It's just that in this case, you're telling it like inside your head to yourself most often. You may or may not be actually expressing it out loud to somebody else. So in this case, the listener is you, and you're going, oh, like the person who will go, oh, I'm bad at math. There is someone in Gina's world who says, oh, I'm such a sponge. I pick up everybody's negativity. And I said, how long do you want to keep that story running and keep perpetuating that story so that you can continue to pick up everybody's ick instead of saying, I'm a mirror, everything just bounces right off me. I don't take any of it in. That would be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that you have any little script, any little story running on in your head, what you're good at, what you're not good at, what you're capable or not capable of, all of that, that is proof. You are a natural-born storyteller. You're doing it to yourself right now. Whether it's for your benefit or for your detriment, this depends on the story.
Well, I think that's one of the most important gems for people to take away from today is really give yourself permission to notice that as you breathe, as you have internal conversations with yourself, you are telling stories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And ever since the dawn of humanity, when somebody said, what happened today, that's a story. And you think about, you tell your, come home and you tell your spouse or your friend or your dog about, wow, this person at the store, you wouldn't believe what they did, blah, 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 blah. That's also a story. And so in talking to other people, whether it's inside of our head or conversations with other people, there are inherent many of those opportunities for stories. Whenever you're saying what happened, oh, this was a funny thing that happened, oh, this was a scary thing that happened, there you are telling stories.
Yeah.
So you're born to it, and you can give yourself permission to accept that, hey, I'm a great storyteller. I'm always finding interesting stories everywhere in my life that are interesting to my audience.
I think what would be really cool would be for the folks who are listening to this to sit back and think about the top three stories that they tell themselves and the
mm-hmm.
top three stories that they tell others.
Mm-hmm.
Really warm yeah. up their recognition of their own storytelling muscle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, everybody's doing it. It's a matter of consciousness or awareness, whether
mm-hmm.
you are knowing, especially if it's the story to yourself part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. And we've touched on the story to yourself part of it. So if you find you're telling your you know, girlfriend about, oh, my husband always da 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 da, oh, he did whatever. You know, if that's something you're telling other people, hopefully it's a nice story and not a non so nice one. But when you, there are things, like you say, that you keep repeating, and oftentimes it's that. I heard a musician, actually I read it because we were instant chatting back and forth, but he was complaining about not having very many gigs or performing jobs. And it's winter, and it's in a touristy area, and there aren't as many opportunities for performers. But I'm always of the opinion that one can find them. It's just a matter of how creative you're willing to be. And gosh, one person just pulled up a guitar and a small amplifier and was performing in a very small local restaurant for tips last week. So he wasn't getting paid an hourly, but he was performing, getting his name out and his cards. And so, but anyway, this musician was complaining that he didn't have many gigs, and he was using a political reference that because of X, Y, and Z, it's just been so hard because of this political stuff. And I was thinking, that is a well-worn tread of story that he is telling. And the more he keeps telling that particular story and digging that rut just a little bit deeper, makes him that much harder to have the breakthrough and to jump out of that rut, because it's a very well-worn path.
That's so true, and people don't realize the trap that they're setting for themselves, because the more they repeat the story, the more they're creating that as the reality and completely missing the opportunities for it to be different.
Uh-huh.
Gina, I know when you and I first met, part of what we talked about was how to shape story so that our ideal customer hears who we are, sees the connection.
Mm-hmm. So often when I'm working with students, they hear me talk about the importance of having stories. They know where they need to use stories. They need to use stories in pretty much everything. Their articles or blog posts, in their products, on social media, face-to-face, literally everything needs to have stories. But over and over again, I see people who don't necessarily use the right stories in the right way. So let's say you're going out and you're working on your business, you're going to write some articles, you're going to go do some things in social media. You need to really think about who your ideal customer is. If your ideal customer is a baby boomer woman, you want to be telling stories about other baby boomer women that you have been able to help overcome different problems. You don't want to go out and tell stories about 30-something men because that story isn't going to resonate with the baby boom woman. The whole point of storytelling is that it is through storytelling that people will, number one, start to perceive you as the go-to expert in your field, and number two, really see you as an influencer who really has the solution to the problem that they have. And if you tell stories that are about the wrong people, it's not going to do either one of those things. If I were to talk about stories of how I groomed my dog and the challenges that I had in grooming my dog, and I didn't tie that back to what it is I really do, it's not going to help me do anything. Okay, maybe it's a good story, but that's about it. You really need to have context for the story so that the stories you're telling really reach the right person with the right message at the right time.
Yeah. It's a dilemma that's been set up, I think, by our celebrity gossip culture right now.
That
people think that telling any story is a good use of their time, their, quote, connecting with others, when in fact it can often be the exact opposite. It has people say, well, I can get a lot of data over there, but I can't actually get helped or get a solution.
Yeah.
I've been talking to Simon Mainwaring a lot lately about the Directions University brand and what I can do to build the brand. And a comment that he made that was something that intuitively I knew but never thought about at a conscious level is that when you're out there creating the story for your brand, you don't want to be the celebrity in your brand. What you really want to do is to become the chief celebrant of the brand. And in Directions U, the way that I can become the chief celebrant of the brand is by telling the stories of my students. Rather than making me the rock star, making me the celebrity, I don't need to give examples of my success in a way that's going to be perceived as I'm egotistical, I'm bragging. If I instead shift just a little baby bit to talking about all of my students, now that does two things. Number one, it helps bring more people to each of them, helping to improve their level of success. And if I can really tie that back into, and this all got started when they were a DU student, then it really does help to attract more people to my brand at the same time.
I so agree with that, Gina. And that's the storytelling of the success stories. It's so important, and it's not my success as the business owner, right? It is so true. It's about being the celebrant. I really love telling the story of how my student and friend and social media mentor, Lasse, who we've had on our show a couple weeks ago, gave away, I think it was over 400 downloads of his book, and then proceeded, when it went to the paid, he was in the top five within the next hour, and number two hot new releases where he's been for a solid day so far now and is getting sales of the Cape book and all that. It's much more fun to tell that story. And he's made me another testimonial, which I haven't even had the chance to go see, and that's what's exciting is his success. I don't really get off on telling as much about anything I've done with my own books. I'd much rather tell about what you're doing with your book and how it's touching lives and getting you where you want to be. And that's the point for everybody, a lot of times people start off as, well, so-and-so came to me for help and blah, 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 blah. And it's not the story isn't they came to me for help. It's they had this problem. They were able to work it through, and this is part of the community.
Yes.
And if we hold on to that notion and then take it into different settings, whether it's in the copy we're using in our online, whether it's in emails that we're sending to folks, whether it's standing at a networking meeting, having a conversation with someone, you know, in a sense, the first response of someone who says, what do you do, does not have to be labeling who you are, but rather to say, tell me a little bit about your work, your life, so I have a context that I can answer you in.
Mm-hmm.
And then shaping what it is we share so it's in relationship to them.
Yes. And by becoming that chief celebrant of your brand, if the stories you're telling are really about the people that you're working with, more than likely that means that the people that it will attract is more of the same kind of people. So as long as the stories that are being created by the people you're working with are really the right people for what you're doing to start with, telling their story instead of your own really will bring you more people.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Simon a few moments ago, and I think our listeners would love to hear how that came about because it's a perfect example of what you were just saying.
Really is. So a couple months ago, one of my students, Lizette LaForge, the JV manager of Seven Figure Speaking Empire, Dave and Dustin, Lizette had been on a call with a woman by the name of Angela Buscio, who is one of Dave and Dustin's Power Day clients. And like all of their clients, Lizette contacts them after their Power Days to help them find joint venture partners that can help them do more of what they're doing. Well, she gets on the call with Angela, and Angela had just created a presentation that she had planned on giving to the world through a webinar, but she really didn't have a solid funnel in place, didn't really know how she was going to generate leads, what was going to make her profits. And Lizette says, oh my goodness, you need to talk to my mentor, Gina. So she gets Angela on a call with me one Friday afternoon, and within, I think, 20 or 25 minutes, it was very, very clear that Angela really needed my coaching program, the DU Bachelor's program. And it turned out that she's someone who's already been working with a number of different coaches and mentors, and I do mean a number of them. And she's also been out there working with other people who offer done-for-you services. One of them was Simon Mainwaring, who was helping her craft what her brand would become and the story behind that brand. And she says, oh my goodness, you have got to meet Simon. Maybe you can work with Simon to help him craft the story of my brand as you and I get started working together. And she was also at the same time working with another guy by the name of Ben Bressington, who's also been on our show. You guys might remember that Ben is the guy that talks about gamifying content and training programs so that it can help improve engagement, help improve the viral marketing aspects of what you're offering, et cetera. And so not only did the one contact that Lizette sent to me turn into a new member of the DU Bachelor's program, it also turned into me working with Simon, me working with Ben Bressington, all because of the power of relationships.
And what's really beautiful to hear is that each of those started off merely by being in relationship with someone. There was no knowing ahead of time who would be helping whom, accomplish what, and yet right there among the four of you, it the energy, I call it the multiplier effect, because each of you is creating something that's of such service to the other that it's magnifying, which what each one of the four of you is creating in the world.
Precisely. Precisely. And I mean, some of my best customers, if we look at best in terms of how much money someone spends with me, most of my best customers are really people that came to me not because they were out there looking for education, training programs, coaches, mentors, but they were simply building their own business, and in the process of doing that, talking to the people that could help them. Maybe they were buying done-for-you services. Maybe they were at a live event, and they came to me because they talked to somebody else who knew somebody else who was already working with me. It was through the stories that some of my best customers were able to find me.
And it's through those very stories that the unexpected opportunities come about. I'm working with a woman who's a celebrity who I met in one context, and in that context, we were talking about one aspect of a business she had shut down because she was so frustrated with how much work it took, and she finally just threw in the towel. And the second or third time that we met and we're talking, I posed a couple of questions to her, and she stopped and looked at me and said, I wish I had been talking to you 4 years ago instead of the two resources, namely the attorney and the accountant who were telling me how to shut down my business. Because what you just asked with those three questions literally redesigned my business. How do we make that happen? And that wasn't what either of us thought our relationship was going to be like, but now we now have a business that's literally launching and growing gangbusters. And it wasn't what I thought initially that our relationship was going to be about. It wasn't what she thought it was, and yet she is the profile of my ideal clients, a multipreneur with interests in lots of different arenas who needs help figuring out how to harmonize all of them, make them all make sense. And for me as a mentor, as someone who consults to business owners, to entrepreneurs, to multipreneurs, and helps them take themselves and their business to the next level, you know, I sit back and I glow with joy as I see the progress that's happening for her, that's coming together so well. And she, in turn, is turning around and talking to a market I never thought to think about as my ideal prospects, which is she's in the celebrity world and the Hollywood world and the fitness world and so on. And if you had asked me 2 months ago if I thought my ideal clients would be in that arena, my first reaction would have been, no. I work with people who are bricks and mortar businesses who want to simplify it, or have online businesses and want to figure out how to optimize what's going on in their business and put the right systems and teams in place to make their life easier and more reliable and more profitable. So I had my story going over there, and it was only by being in relationship with her that this whole other arena of people who are, in fact, my ideal clients reside in, which is people who think of themselves as entrepreneurs who have something they want to bring to the world to make a difference to the world.
And, you know, that really brings up a very good point, which is when I'm working with my students, what I'm really wanting for them is to get started going in a direction, whether that's going about it through blogging, whether that's going about it through doing webinars, attending live events, do something that gets conversations started so that you can then get the feedback that you need to perfect the plan even more, tweak the plan, implement the tweaks, and move forward to do it all over again and start having more conversations to get the feedback to make the plan even more perfect.
Right. You know, as you were sharing that, Gina, you and I have talked about that often, both with regards to how we've done that journey in our own businesses and how we try and communicate that to the folks we work with. And Rhonda, you know, I keep thinking about it as being able to help people understand they're going on the hero's journey. nobody departs knowing what the entire journey is going to look like, what all of their opportunities and decisions are going to be, who they're going to encounter, how it's going to reshape that journey. And yet, here it is.
Yep. Yeah, it's so critical to the eventual success of any business that you go out and start having conversations, paying attention to the feedback that that gives you so that you really can adjust and move forward.
Yeah.
Isn't that what every business has ever been successful, has really done well?
And yet the interesting thing is, and I know you ladies will agree, that a lot of times people start out and they don't want to recognize that they're on a hero's journey. They feel like they want to know exactly where they're going to end up and everything that's going to happen along the way. Like, even if you have a great roadmap, I think of the trip that my mom and her new husband and I took to the Grand Canyon years ago. And sure, we had, you know, the map and where we were going to stop essentially, but you couldn't know everything that was going to happen. Yet people seem to think they want that. When you're on a hero's journey, all you know is you're going out on a quest for something. You're going to run into some interesting people. You're going to run into some situations. And if you don't give up and stall out and turn back and whatever, then you could come out victorious in the end, but that's not a given. It depends on you. You see the hero in preparation.
Yeah. The best you can do is, A, know where you're starting. B, know your destination. Where is it that you're trying to get to? And build a plan that gets you from where you are to where you want to be in a way. It's not going to be the perfect way. May not be the shortest. May not be the most profitable. But build a plan to get started on that journey, but keep your eyes open for all the things that will come up along the way that, through taking advantage of those opportunities, can really help you to really get even more than you wanted in the outcome.
Uh-huh.
Just like airplanes. All
like
pilots have to plan a flight plan before they can take off. They know where they're at, they know where they want to go, and they have a route that they're going to use to get them there. But until they get that plane up in the air and start to see the conditions that are there, they really don't have a flight plan that is exactly what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to be off course more than they're on course.
Much more.
We are out of time, ladies. We only have 90 seconds left.
I know. I looked at the time a few minutes ago and I went, you must be kidding. It feels like it's been 15 or 20 minutes. I just love this conversation.
Same here.
So shall we remind people where they can find Miss Linda?
You can find Miss Linda at breakthroughbydesign.com. And you'll see all sorts of background information, some of the programs that I offer to people. And I'm delighted to speak with any of our listeners who would like to talk about what's going on in their business and get some perspective on it.
That's awesome.
And you'll be hearing a lot more from Linda in the very near future.
Can we really say it out loud, Rhonda?
I will if you will. It's been my absolute pleasure to be co-host and guest booker of Relationship Marketing 101 for about 3.5 years. And I am very excited to pass the baton over to Linda, who will be your new co-host and guest booker for whatever amount of time she does it. And I'm really excited. It has been a blast. I have loved it, Gina, and I've loved it, all of our listeners. And as you can tell from this conversation, you all, as listeners, will be in very good hands with Linda taking over that position.
And it's my delight to be coming on board, following on your coattails, because as I've listened to you, Rhonda, it's been marvelous the way that you've brought out the insights from each of the guests on the program and really made it really evident how the listeners, how each of our community can take that into their lives and their business and make it practical. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the baton officially gets passed on our next show, when Linda will be joining me as a co-host, and Rhonda will be our guest.
Flip-flop.
Woohoo!
Yep, looking forward to that.
We're
going to
keep everyone on their toes.
Yep.
Rhonda, I cannot thank you enough for all that you have done on Relationship Marketing 101 in the last 3.5 years. It really has been my pleasure to have you as a co-host. And I am certainly looking forward to starting to work with Linda next week.
Same
yes,
here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a blast. And we'll look forward to next week, and it'll be a little different show. It'll be a lot of fun.
Can't wait.
Thanks
so much. We'll see you all next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.